Good morning, everyone. So morning, I guess. Okay, am I talking into the microphone? Okay, good. Today I'm going to talk to you a bit about a data set that I actually inherited at the beginning of my PhD. And I've been looking at using it for modeling a distribution and abundance of soybean aphid relative to landscape parameters. So you all know all about the soybean aphid, so I'm going to focus on things about their phenology that makes them unique in Ontario, because we're from Ontario, so all of our research is done in Ontario. We've had them in North America since 1999-2000, but we've had them, and boy did we get them, in Ontario in 2001. We've had a very characteristic two-year abundance cycle in Ontario. Almost every odd-numbered year, we have very heavy widespread infestations, and there is very little damage due to this pest in even-numbered years. They overwinter on buckthorn, as was mentioned before, and we usually get later on in the season infestations, which means that seed treatments aren't typically used, and we usually use foliar insecticides to control them. And of course, to time these foliar insecticides properly, you need to scout them very frequently. And here's just a little diagram. All of you know the life cycle of the soybean aphid, but I just want to emphasize, the amount of time, of course, that the soybean aphid spends on buckthorn. This is a very important part of their life cycle. It's almost 9 months of the year in Ontario. In Ontario, what we've observed is that local aphid migration, that is, the aphids on our buckthorn, leave the buckthorn in about early June, and we can usually detect numbers of them in our soybeans by early July. Now, we often get infestations of aphids coming from you guys down here, thanks. And they're a lot more difficult to predict, but I'm focusing on the local aphid migrations in this particular study. Now, overwintering aphid egg populations are a really, really good way to predict if a field will become infested in the next year. But the problem is, growers will not go out and look for them. In fact, I think that only two people in Ontario regularly look for aphids, me and our government extension person. We try to get the growers out, but they don't do it. So we want to develop a method that's easier for them to use to identify which fields would become more likely to be infested. So the objective of this study was to predict the field risk due to local aphids using static landscape parameters. So essentially, quantify the amount of overwintering habitat and see how that relates to aphid population measures. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on this study site. Most of you probably won't be familiar with the area, but this is a chunk of southwestern Ontario. And to give you a point of reference, this down here is Lake Erie, Lake Huron, and this up in the corner here is Lake Ontario. So Toronto's over here, Detroit is down in the corner here. And our study site consisted of all these little yellow pinned areas over spanning an area of about 125 kilometers by 70 kilometers. In 2005 and 2006, we went out during the week of July 15th and we looked at 25 different soybean fields in both those years. And in each of those years, we scouted 20 sites within the field and we performed whole plant counts of the aphids within that field. Now, the population measures we used in modeling were aphid presence, which we defined as, did we find an aphid in the field or not? So giving that a zero or a one value. Aphid colonization, which was more than one plant in the field had aphids on it, regardless of number. And then, of course, density, which is the average number of aphids per plant. And the landscape variables that we used were based on the logic, of course, that aphids overwinter on buckthorn, and buckthorn occurs in agricultural hedgerows. And in Ontario, we're pretty much lousy with buckthorn. You can find it in a lot of agricultural hedgerows, and it spans most of the southern Ontario region. So what we did was we went to the fields and we assessed, was there buckthorn there? And of course, how much of it there was it on a per meter of hedgerow basis? We also looked at how much hedgerow was around the field and within 4 kilometers of the field. Poor summer student out there with a GPS unit walking along all the hedgerows to assess that. And we also took measurements of field perimeter and area. And the analysis we did, well, we started out with a traditional fisherian analysis and found nothing. So what we did was we set up a number of competing models using a probate analysis to predict aphid presence or colonization, and using linear analysis to describe aphid density, and correlated them with the measures of the landscape variables, so buckthorn, field perimeter, and all that. And then we used the Akake information criterion to rank the models based on the fit of the data. Now, if you don't know much about AIC, this particular statistical method allows you to rank models based on how well the data fits the model, and the lower value indicates better fit. Okay, here is the results, and I apologize for how ugly it is. There, we tested a lot of models, and believe me, I didn't include all of them. We ran a random number generator to create a baseline AIC so we'd know if our models were performing better than background noise. And for aphid presence, what we found is that there were no values for either of the years of data that we collected that were that much better than the random number generator. So what we decided was aphid presence alone cannot be predicted using landscape variables. But aphid colonization, we did find some improvements over the random model. Now, I'll start out with the low aphid year, 2006, where we had very few outbreaks of aphids. And what we found was that the best predictor of whether aphids would be colonizing the field was there buckthorn present at that field. But in 2005, what we found for colonization was that the amount of buckthorn made a difference. So this was, we were dealing with a lot higher numbers of aphids at that time. And okay, so the results from this, of course, as I mentioned, aphid presence simply can't be predicted. And not terribly surprisingly, but it's nice to be able to demonstrate it, aphids are most likely to colonize fields that are adjacent to buckthorn. Now back to the AIC values. We'll talk a little bit about density. Now this is something that came out very nice and I was very pleased about. The models for both 2005 and 2000, using both 2005 and 2006 data, were picked out the same models. So this means that aphid population density behaves the same in both a low year and a high year. So this is sort of an exciting result. Another thing that came out of it was that you'll notice that all of these models are on a per area basis. So this means that field area has a very strong role in diluting the number of aphids that can be present. But the best model that was picked out was the estimated number of buckthorn plants around the total field area divided by the field area. So the number of buckthorns divided by field area was the best predictor of aphid density. So a general conclusions on this, aphid density goes up with buckthorn density, but these two other two factors are probably correlated with buckthorn density. We did not work this out, but fields with a high proportion of hedgerow around their area had higher aphid populations, and fields with a high perimeter to area ratio, so irregularly shaped fields. So this could all mean fields that have more aphid habitat per unit area. So what does this all mean for predicting aphid outbreaks? Through this, you can identify fields that are most likely to have an aphid infestation without going out there counting eggs. So that's a very important tool for growers. And these higher risk fields might have earlier colonization, so aphids can start building up in them earlier, and they're more likely to suffer economic loss. And then, of course, they can act as sources for infestation for other fields. So this is another very important ecological consequence of these fields. You can have early populations of soybean aphids starting out in these fields and growing and then moving to adjacent fields that are further from buckthorn. And of course, in the case of their long-distance travel. These are ones that could be moving longer distances. So this actually provides a very good framework for what the previous speaker was talking about, which is kind of interesting. Thanks for the nice intro, essentially. Essentially, these outcomes can be prevented if crop rotation is manipulated, that is, not planting soybean in these high-risk fields on the high-risk years. But also, if you still need to plant soybean, you can choose to use resistant cultivars and seed treatments, and then these populations won't build up in these fields early in the season, and the populations won't be moving to other fields. But of course, this all leads back to the point that these fields need to be identified before planting, because of course, the grower has to purchase the seeds and the seed treatments. Now, I'd like to acknowledge my predecessor, Andrew Wellsman, who got this project started and then joined the Army, and Tracy Bowdy, our government agricultural personnel that helps us out a lot, and the National Science and Engineering Council, and the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food, and Syngenta Crop Protection. And at this point, I'll take your questions. See, the problem is that's really hard to tease out in Ontario. Most of our hedgerows have some buckthorn in them. The exception is in Kent County, which is right around the campus of Ridgetown campus, which is a satellite campus of Guelph. They actually underwent a buckthorn eradication that was extremely successful back in the 60s. They were doing that to get rid of oak crown rust. And well, of course, that was sort of our control without buckthorn. And we did find aphids there, but it all did come out in the model that higher amounts of buckthorn and of still higher amounts of hedgerow, we'd have more aphids.